And stay tuned, because it's 7 o'clock and it is time for Tommy's Holiday Camp.
Good morning, campers.
Welcome.
Welcome indeed. Welcome to another edition of Tommy's Holiday Camp. This is Arnold Dale, your host, and thank you very much, Miss Laura, for all our myriad listeners around the world. We got Roberto was telling me yesterday he got a call from Thailand. So people are listening to us literally all around the world. So you never know, not just in this little neck of the woods around gorgeous downtown Occidental. We are all around the world with the wonders of the internet tubings. So thank you, Miss Laura, again. A great show. So much, wow, from near and far, you know, from safety preparedness to Namibia. I like it. That's what it's all about. A nice, healthy, broad look at the world for our wonderful listeners. So welcome. Yeah, this is Arnoldo, and yes, another edition of Tommy's Holiday Camp. It's almost, I think, just coming up next week or next couple of weeks will be my second year anniversary. It's all gone by like a flash. Really had a good time, and I hope you will enjoy this show amongst all the rest coming up. In fact, we've got some great... hopefully you'll like this show. I've got some really good, very interesting interviews coming up, very special. First of all, coming up, and we'll be saying hello to Richard Hoff.
Hello.
Okay, and Richard, we're going to be discussing Reichian therapy.
That's right. It's a pleasure to be here. This is my maiden voyage on the Kars airwaves.
Okay, oh, in fact, to properly... Okay, you're truly blessed now by the cow's airwaves.
Is that how it's
done? Oh, no, we've given our secret away.
I won't tell anybody.
Well, the real Bessie and Bossy are actually away on vacation. These are just their substitutes.
Oh, I see.
And so after Richard, a very, very special interview with George Galloway, the British Member of Parliament for the Respect Party. I spoke to him from his chambers in the House of Commons earlier this week. So stay tuned for that. And then after George Galloway, I'll be speaking with Louise Vance, who will be coming into the studio. And she is the director of the new PBS documentary called Seneca Falls. And there'll be a benefit for that and for the Annerley Choir tomorrow, in fact, at Annerley High School. We'll be talking about that and the film. So anyway, lots to do. So let's go back to Richard. And let me find my notes, and then we'll all be well with the world. So, Richard, I should give a few before I start. I have to tell us who we are, where we're broadcasting from. This is Cows Radio, 107.3 FM, coming to you from gorgeous downtown Occidental. And you can get us at www.kows.fm. Okay.
In our palatial studios.
At the what?
In our palatial studio.
Palatial and sumptuous, yeah. So, yeah, we've moved just a couple of months, and we're really enjoying our bigger studios. It gives us lots more flexibility and capability to get out to the community. And one of the things we love to do is bring you all sorts of interesting interviews, and one of those is with Richard here tonight.
Weird accidental characters.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know, it's a microcosm of the world. So, yeah, Reichian therapy, Richard.
That's my bag.
Yeah. So,
one of my bags.
Yeah, maybe you can give a brief history of what is Reichian therapy and where did it come from? And then we can talk about your involvement in it.
Yes, well, Wilhelm Reich was one of the bright young disciples of Sigmund Freud, less generally known. They all went their own way, developed their own methods of healing. Wilhelm Reich was the one who developed what is now called body psychotherapy. He did a lot of different things, but what is most important to me is the body psychotherapy, which brings the body into therapy as well as the mind and the emotions, because they're all interlinked.
Which is very different then from the Freudian approach. He really took it at a whole nother, he brought something else to that then.
Definitely. Yes, in Reichian therapy, one doesn't typically lie down and just free associate. There are people who do what they call Reichian therapy, in which you lie down and breathe deeply. And many people, or at least some people, get into a lot of emotions doing that. But Reich developed a lot of different techniques for getting into your emotions, for getting into the subconscious particularly. He discovered that your emotions are, well, obviously you can see that emotions are physical impulses as well as what you might call mental emotions. Your different emotions are expressed physically. Crying expresses sadness, and rage is expressed with screaming and violent motions of your body. Fear is expressed with cringing and pulling back kind of feelings. And as we start getting into our emotions, in starting from when we first pop out of the womb, if not before, those emotions come up. And if they are suppressed, they are eventually repressed, many of them, as we get older, and even become totally forgotten. If they're not forgotten, at least they're very much held in, and it's difficult for us to release them. The farther back the emotions go, the harder it is to get in touch with them and release them. But the deeper they are, because as babies, we're very plastic, very very fluid and flexible. And as we have to suppress emotions at that age, they become our original tensions that distort our natural animal fluidity. And our subsequent suppressions and repressions are built on that foundation of original, very total flexible tension.
So when did you come to the therapy, Reichian therapy? What brought you to it? And can you tell us that
As often story? Happens, I was in a deep love relationship, and that brings out the weirdness in all of us, I think.
From the very depths.
That's right. So I started discovering sides of myself that surprised me, and I had an opportunity to get into Reichian therapy for a few months. And
What drew you to it, though? What particularly that one? Somebody suggested it, or
some friends had told me about it. Some friends who had read a lot of Reich, and I just thought his many things about him were very interesting. His attitude about fascism, what the emotional basis of fascism was, and the importance of sexual repression and the inability to have full orgasm because of all the tensions we developed against it. So there were a lot of things, but the main thing I want to talk about in our short time here is what the therapy is like, how it works.
Right.
So when I got into therapy, I've always been a very emotionally stable sort of person, didn't cry very readily or get angry. So I knew this would be a tough situation for the therapist. And he did almost entirely physical work with me. Mm. He learned about my history as a child, like any Freudian-based psychoanalyst would.
Okay, so that is done in that process then.
Yes,
okay.
He got into the basic childhood history. And in the course of therapy, he'd do almost entirely physical work with me. He'd have me lie on his table, and he'd go deeply into tense muscles to a point of discomfort and pain, and have me yell, really release the feeling, and kick and pound. Mm. And I loved that right away, the repressed sort of nice guy that I was. It's like, wow, to express my pain. That's incredible. Mm. And one thing that really got through to me is lying backwards over a padded stool, a stress position, breathing deeply and letting myself express the feeling, the uncomfortableness or whatever feeling came up in it.
Yeah. Vulnerability, and, I suppose.
Yes. And the thing that I really liked, well, I'm a very disciplined, I've always been a very disciplined sort of person, so I could really do this for a long time, you know, just really hang in there with it.
Yeah.
And one day he
just
had me...
Just because you could, not necessarily, yeah, for good reasons.
Well, I just wanted to do the best I could with it, you know? And one day after he gave me a really hard workout there, he decided it was time. We had done this for a few months, and he had me lie down on his carpet, and he closed the blinds, turned the lights low, and said, Richard, keep breathing deeply and talk to your mother. I said, oh okay, Malcolm, I don't know. I'll just do it. So I breathed deeply and started saying, Mommy, Mommy. You know, it's really awkward at first, but I kept doing it. And
felt sort of silly type of...
Yeah. But to my surprise, as I kept talking to my mother, I did start kind of relating to my childhood relationship to my mother. And as I kept doing it, I noticed I was feeling tremors in my abdominal muscles, which was very unusual. And I wanted to stop doing it. So I realized, oh, this is very unusual. I'd better keep doing it. So I kept doing it, and the tremors became more extreme. And I started crying. I kept going with it, and I began to realize that where I was coming from, I was apologizing to my mother. And it had to do with guilt feelings that came up after my mother and I had to find a place to live together after my father had to go to war. I'm 70 years old, and I was born right at the commencement of World War II in Europe. And my father didn't have to go right away, so I was about 4 when he knew his number was being called. He had a friend on the draft board, and he went into officer's candidate school in the Navy, and I couldn't believe he was really leaving.
You
I was
actually,
only 4 years old. I didn't know, but there came a day when he really left. And when I made that connection in this therapy session, it suddenly shifted to deep grief over my father leaving. And I just sobbed my guts out. I couldn't believe what was happening.
From all those years before, just coming out.
Yes. I found out years later, talking to my mother about it, that I hadn't cried at the time. My parents had tried to be good about it and make it okay. And I knew it was very painful. I could remember that. But I had not cried. I'd had the self-control at that young age to hold back the tears. And now, for the first time, I was really releasing those feelings. And it was incredible. It was like a miracle. And afterwards, I felt like I had been bathed in oxygen, like it was just like the world had turned into diamond. It was crystal clear, like being high. But after a release like that, it gives you self-knowledge at a much deeper level. It brings you into contact with the child. But I found that it didn't just suddenly sweep everything away and make me transfigured.
Right. That was just the beginning.
It was the beginning. It was an experience of getting into deep armor in my abdomen and other parts of my body, but that was what I noticed the most, and releasing from that level and realizing I had never gotten into these feelings. I'd never contacted those feelings, even on LSD trips. And I really tried to get into my feelings on LSD trips, and I did. I didn't contact that buried level from the age of four. And now I know that the armor that I developed to hold those feelings in at the age of four and not even cry were based on deeper armor that I had developed as an infant. And I began to question my mother and learn more where that came from. So that's how I got into it.
Right. Okay.
It wasn't just an intellectual trip. I realized from having a deep experience of how just this body work could bring an armored a person whose emotions were well held in to this kind of release. So I knew that was the path I needed to follow.
Yeah, it hadn't happened before like that.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's. You brought some music in. Let me play a little bit of that, and then we'll get back and talk some more.
All right.
What is the music you brought in?
Well, I brought two pieces on the same CD that are very similar in their emotional power. Mm-hmm. Metamorphosen by Richard Strauss and Transfigured Night by Arnold Schoenberg.
Okay, well, we'll play a few minutes of this and we'll get back to some more chat.
Good.
This is Richard Hoff about Reichian therapy. This is Arnaldo, and you're on Cows Radio, 107.3 FM. It is about 18 minutes past 7.
And a lovely time to go.
Yeah, a lovely evening. So let's just play a little music for a couple of minutes and we'll be right back.
So we're off mic now.
Well, that was a bit of Richard Strauss. And we're back with Arnaldo, your host of Tommy's Holiday Camp, and Richard Hoff. And we're talking about his experiences with Reiki and therapy. So now we've talked about how, you know, where how you got involved in it and the deep effect it had with you. But then after that, you didn't just stop there with your own work. You decided to take it into a more practical way.
Well, it sort of evolved. I actually had no idea of doing that at the time. But, you know, the money situation ran out for me. And I had to continue it on my own. So I, you know, I obviously read a lot of Reich, and I read Alexander Lowen, one of his students. But I developed massage tools. I really need a lot of deep tissue work. I definitely muscularly controlled. And so I developed certain massage tools, one of which actually became a business. Some of you out there may even have a knobble massage tool. It's a little tool that's made for deep tissue work. And I did various techniques. Reich used the gag reflex to open up deep armor in your jaws, throat, belly. So I started working with the gag reflex and doing different kinds of bioenergetic work that I'll get into here briefly. But what happened is I kept doing this with a woman I began relating to at the time who was interested in it and got very much into early infantile stuff. So I started learning about early infantile stuff and becoming kind of a daddy with her. And we did a lot of work together.
So you can take on almost a role then. You have to take that a certain dynamic role.
Well, it just naturally brought me into that. I felt very nurturing towards her, and she needed a daddy, and it was very sweet.
Oh, nice.
We're still very, very deep friends. So I began to reach a point after continuing the work on myself and actually having more primals, often with the help of LSD. I found it a very powerful therapeutic aid. I began to reach a point where I felt that I had something to offer to others. And I started experimenting with friends and eventually got a little group together in Berkeley, my home in Berkeley at the time, and didn't have any pretensions about what my abilities were, but just wanted to introduce people to it, help them as much as I could, and experiment.
Right.
I made it very clear, and it was wonderful. The group was very powerful, and I learned a lot from it, as did my friend, Lori, who actually has gone on to become a credentialed therapist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I learned a lot working with clients that way, became better and better at it. And at that time, the Holistic Health Center, the Berkeley Holistic Health Center, was starting, and one was able to advertise in their regular thing they put out, their schedule of classes. So I got more clients that way. And eventually the Holistic Health Center put out a book, which I have an article in, the Holistic Health Handbook and the New Holistic Health Handbook, which is their second edition of it. My article is in each.
So say that again so people can look it up on the internet.
I believe it is on the internet.
Under the Holistic Health,
Holistic Health Handbook for the Holistic Health Center.
Okay.
So I gained experience more and more, and just evolved into a practitioner. I gotten quite good at it. I mean, that was over 30 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I started feeling like I was really solid in the work, and I've continued in it and gotten pretty good.
You've been, for 30 years. That's an incredible body of work. I'm sorry, it's a body of work.
That's right.
That you've put out there. That's a lot of experience. I mean, what have you, before we get into maybe some techniques, what have you...
much time.
Yeah, okay, well, let's go over some of the techniques.
How much time would you say we have?
We've got about 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
About 7 or 8, yeah, about 8 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know, the work varies with the nature of the client. There's not a rigid protocol. For example, my friend Lori was very baby-like. She, with very little effort, sort of regressed into early infancy. So the work with her was not a lot of hard body work kind of thing. It was just gently being with her and actually just being kind of a daddy with her and holding her and letting her go deeper into that level, letting her not be a responsible growing up, but just let go into that. It was an incredible experience, really.
Yeah,
I couldn't have had that with just a client that you see for an hour or whatever. So I learned a lot about a totally different kind of character structure from that. And other people are very, very armored, hard bodies, and with them, I just really work them out, do deep tissue work very deeply, and walk on their backs. Just really.
Hopefully, we're not spiked shoes on them.
Well, I haven't had any clients that bad yet. But you know, some people just really cannot get into their feelings about really hard body work. But
so you really have to break them, literally break them down to that point where they're open
yes,
to it.
Yes, yes.
They're not fighting it.
Yes, but you have to be even careful with that because sometimes people present a very stiff surface, and if you overdo it with them, they can decompensate, as they say in therapy. So one has to be cautious, and one has to have a very good idea of their family background, so you can suspect what you're liable to be getting into. And the deep work like that is always done with deep breathing and, above all, full expression of the feeling. You cannot let a client fall into just kind of gritting their teeth, what they're used to, and just taking it. You know, that's not what you want.
Right.
And it's sometimes hard to get clients to do that, but you must keep getting them to express as best they can the feelings in their body and whatever emotions are coming up. So one of the techniques is that kind of deep tissue work, deep massage, going into their chest, deepening their exhalation as they're breathing deeply and having them yell, even get into deep coughing. That's a technique I've really developed a lot. Reiki's deep pressure on the chest. I didn't hear about deep coughing, but most people will get into deep coughing if you make them yell as you do deep compression of their chest on the exhalation. So that's a powerful technique, which you can use either mildly or deeply to bring in the coughing, or you can go into their back also deeply with the deep exhalation, and that'll often bring in deep coughing because that also compresses the chest along with the back. And one thing I do with virtually everybody is I'll usually do this having them sit in a chair, a low chair, and I get behind them and go deeply into the trapezius, the shoulders, and neck.
So much
everybody's
there.
Got so much tension there.
Yeah.
I'll often start a session with that, so starting the body work part of the session. But I do talk with everybody. It's not just all physical work. It varies, as I say, with the character of the client. But there's always talk, and especially in the earlier parts of the work where you're getting into understanding more what their childhood situation was like. That's very important. You need to see the lay of the land to get a feeling of where you're going with this.
And now when you say, you know, you've worked through, you know, people physically and, you know, you get that breakthrough, the next time they come, is it do they know where to go then, or is it something you have to again almost go back through the same process again to get them open again?
I always ask them what the intervening time has been like, if they're feeling any particular thing. I also often suggest things for people to do when they're not in a session. If somebody's willing and able to do that, it greatly amplifies the work. Mm-hmm. Some people are more able to do that, some are not.
Right.
So the physical, the more deep tissue massage type work is one aspect of the work, and always with talk. There's other things like working with the facial tension, having people sometimes just move their face all around wildly and open the jaw. So you always a lot of jaw tension, get into a yawning expression, letting the tongue come out, with sound. Then there's a lot of different kinds of work that's often subsumed under the term bioenergetic. There's ways a person can move their body to open up, always with breathing and sound. They can stand, work on their grounding, stamping and with sound. And many people are very ungrounded when they do that, kind of totter. So I get them to kind of jump a little bit and land on their feet with a kind of sound, or vibrating their feet, stamping them with sound, trying to let that go into the pelvis, to shake in the pelvis. Once they've got some grounding, they're working with the upper body to start moving your arms and shoulders freely. It's often amazingly hard to do for people, with sound, letting the neck and head move with it, with breathing. And this can work into direct emotional expressions, like reaching out violently with your fists, or with a clutching motion with your hands, with a yell, reaching out and doing that repeatedly, aggressive movements like that.
So everyone gets a whole different array, really. It's personalized. It's them, isn't it, coming out, I suppose.
It's like there's a lot of different techniques in the arsenal, you might say, a lot of different things that you can do depending on what seems to be right at the time. At first, one will be experimenting a little more, seeing what seems to work for people, and you kind of develop it from there.
Yeah, well, I think time is just about beaten us for this, but I would love it if you came back, Richard. We can talk some more about this in more depth at a later date.
All right. Well, why don't I give my telephone number to people?
Yes, please
In case they would like to speak to me more about this. I'm not an email kind of person. That's not the way to go. I can go a week without even looking at email very happily if I'm busy. So my phone number is, of course, 874, being an Occidental guy, 874-3422. 3422. And my last name is H-O-F-F, Hoff. So I'm also in the phone book, if you forget that, Richard Hoff. There's not many just plain Hoffs in the phone book, and only one Richard as far as I know, and certainly only one with an Occidental prefix.
Yeah, I think you'll get to him. Well, thank you very much, Richard, for talking to us about Reiki, your Reiki therapy practice.
Thank you, Arnold. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Anyway, well, let's run out with some more of your music you brought.